Sustain SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.
Crunch Time.
Five times voted the AFLMA's most outstanding radio program. For the award-winning Renault Traffic, the winning band for the winning man. Selling your home? Get the right advice before contacting an agent. Visit findthebestagent.com.au.
11 minutes past 12. This is Crunch Time, as you heard, for our great friends at Renault and the Renault Traffic, the winning van for the winning man, and findthebestagent.com.au. Selling your home, get the real service that delivers real results. findthebestagent.com.au. Coming up shortly, the crunch. We'll get into some of the broader issues in footy at the moment. Maybe return to the Cats too and their future in terms of Ablett Stringer. Is that the way to go? And we'll preview the big game between Richmond and GWS. The countdown is well and truly on this beautiful, warm September afternoon in Melbourne. But as soon as the grand final is over, our attention will turn to trade period, and that's where people like Tom Petroro come into their own from Stride Sports Management. Tom Petroro, manager to some of the biggest names in the game, joins us on the line. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Hutto. How are you?
Mate, I'm okay. I won't say I'm great after the way my team played last night, but looking forward to getting to the G this afternoon and seeing the Tigers in action. I guess the big question that people like you would be asked a lot at the moment is, what are we going to see in the trade period, given so many of the big names have re-signed, and there's a few that haven't, and you manage a couple of them, but given that so many have, are we going to see as many trades as what was speculated on about 2 or 3 months ago, or will it actually be a little quieter?
I think that we won't see the big trades. So we won't see Martin move or Kelly move. But I still believe that we'll see plenty of movement. I can't remember the exact numbers last year, but I think we've sort of been trending towards 20 to 30 players each year moving clubs, and I can't see that changing.
Are we going to see more contracted players move this year and into the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think the market has opened up a fair bit, and for clubs to be able to get the players that they want, it's not just draft picks that they can trade. So whether it's Geelong and trying to get Ablett, if it's Essendon who are trying to get Stringer, I don't always think the picks are going to hit the nail on the head and get what they want. So I believe that there'll still be some surprises to come.
So as a manager of, let's say, a middle to high range player, so not your absolute superstar, but someone a little bit down the rung, if a club suddenly comes to you and says, look, we want to move this player on, we rate him, we think he's a good player, but another club's come to us and they want him, and we want to get X, or we want to get picks or so forth, and we're willing to trade him, what happens then?
Yeah, good question. You've got to manage expectations, and the player has the right to say no. I think the first couple of things we do is, one, we'll go to our player and say, look, have you got an interest in moving to GWS? And he says, oh, maybe. And let's say that he's on, you know, $500,000 a year, because he's sort of that 5 to 10 at a club, and he's got a year to run on his contract or 2 years to run, and he's half interested in moving to GWS, and I'll go back to GWS and say, look, what are you guys, you know, where do you see him? What sort of contract are we talking about? What are you prepared to give for this player? And then slowly work our way through it. The key is not to get too excited, and I think that our job is to probably gauge whether the deal is possible, and then if that deal's possible, how am I going to manage it? And there's plenty of times where a club will come to me and say, oh, you know, well, Joel Selwood moved to the Crows, and you say, well, I'm not even going to take that to Joel. You know what I mean? Like, there's no chance that's going to happen. So I think we've got to be responsible enough to see what's available, whether it's possible, and then work our way through that.
Tom, not so long ago, free agent status meant that we all thought it was going to be for the middle-rung player who was a competent player but wasn't getting opportunity. He could then move on to another club and benefit his career. What we saw 2-3 years ago was the better clubs were getting the really good players who were lurking into or stepping into free agency. Are we going to see a little bit more of a direction for what it was purely or intently designed for originally this year?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think that I think that the thing about free agency is that clubs are prepared. So the stronger clubs were prepared to pay that little bit more money or entice that player away from a weaker club to promise them success. I think it's dependent on the player and the club that they're playing at. And I think also the other part of free agency is, well, it does give a player freedom of movement. Now, there's matching, you know, there's opportunities to match if they're restricted free agents. So then it comes down to the player's choice as to which is the best fit and whether his existing club will match that deal.
Can I ask a different question, Tom? What would the player know about the offers that are in front of him? How much detail would they have, and how early would they be aware that there's, you know, a couple of players that you manage are up for trade? Are they aware of the finances now? Are they aware of the deals now, and then have a couple of weeks to think about it? Or how early do they know?
Yeah, good question. I think it's dependent on where their team's at in terms of finals and those sort of things. So I must admit, I'm not big on bothering a player in season, you know, if he's got finals to worry about. You don't want to get his mind off the job. But right now, if their team's finished, they'll know a fair, you know, they'll know basically everything. So whether that's me presenting all the offers and saying, well, these are the opportunities, this is how it all looks. And ultimately, too, when you get to this point in the season, the player's going to have a fair idea of what his value is based on the education I've given him and also based on, you know, what clubs are prepared to offer. And then it's about working their way through it.
Is it a fait accompli, Tommy, that Tom Rockliffe is out of Brisbane?
No, he's good. Tom's got a big decision to make. Fortunately for Tom, he became a father last week, and then he had shoulder surgery this week. So he hasn't really had an opportunity to go and talk to the suitors as such.
Is there a lot of suitors, Tom? I mean, we know Carlton is one. It's been reported this week that they've put an offer on the table for him. Is there a lot of suitors for Rockliffe?
Port Adelaide.
Yeah, so they're the two main ones, and obviously Brisbane. So it's not fait accompli that he's going. I've been in constant dialogue with Dom Ambrosio, Brisbane's list manager, and a little bit of talking to Nobes as well. Tom's got a decision to make, and he probably hasn't been in a position to make that decision because of the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. So free agency opens Friday week. We've got, you know, almost 2 weeks to work our way through it. I would think closer to that window opening, we'll have a fair idea as to what he's going to do.
Last question from me. Is it a fait accompli that Todd Goldstein will be at North Melbourne next year?
I'd be really surprised, Robbo, if he moves. I've been in constant contact with Joycey and Mick McMahon. Nope. I don't see Goldie moving through this period. But, Robbo, you know how it is. Never say never.
Yep.
You always got to go in open-minded, but I would be very surprised.
At what point financially, Tom, do you say to the player, this is the gap in these deals, you really need to consider your options here? I mean, we throw around figures and say, oh, it's $100,000 gap here per year after tax and all that sort of stuff, blah, 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 the player should stay. At what point do you accept that most players say that that's just too much?
I think it comes back to the player and the club that's throwing the money around. And I think that if a player's at a strong club and he's been given good opportunity, it's hard to put a number on it. You probably start considering it somewhere between 50 and 100 per annum. But by saying that, Kingy, players aren't driven by that. So I've had a couple of instances this year with players, which I don't want to name, but they've been in positions where they could have taken 50 or 100 more to go to another club. That club was a bit weaker. And players feel an obligation to their own club. Players are still loyal, and they'll want to stay. Look, you guys that played footy, you play because of your mates and being successful. Money helps, but it's not the number one driver.
Jackson Trengove.
There's a bit of the Derek Kickett syndrome in this as well, you know. The left out of the finals and might want to move on, Hutto.
Is he definitely going? Is it a fait accompli, as Robbo asked?
Not a fait accompli.
But likely.
I would think that there's a good chance. It's not Derek Kickett. If Jackson's to go, Kenny will have a pretty heavy heart because Jackson's such a good competitor and he can play a number of roles. The thing for Jackson will be, if he is to go, he'll want to go to a footy club where the coach has got, you know, a defined role for him and an opportunity that he knows that he can play in that one role. I reckon Jackson's had a difficult year this year where he's, in any given game, he's played a bit back, a bit forward, a bit in the ruck, and hasn't really been able to settle. And because of that, his form suffered. But when he's gone back to the sample, his form's been outstanding. So I think that the way probably Port set up was to Jacko's disadvantage, and hence why, you know, he's activating his right as a free agent to have a good look around and make a call.
So he lost his spot to Kids, though. And he did go back to the sample, and he's a kind of player, Tom, that you know what he's capable of, and if he's catching and kicking it beautifully in the sample, and if his hands are good and he's moving all right, you know what he's capable of, but he couldn't oust a couple of kids in the back line and one in the forward line.
Do you reckon if they got up and beat West Coast, he would have played the following week?
Jeepers.
Against GWS?
Probably not. Probably not. You wouldn't break the winning formula.
Do you reckon those kids were playing? We're getting a bit sidetracked, but
yeah,
kids were playing as well as to hold their spot? Because I sort of felt like...
I'll say no quickly.
Yeah, and then I'll also say to that is... He was the victim of the showdown debacle, him and Jarman Impey. Impey came back in. They didn't make any changes really through that three-week period. But Jacko was dominating at Sandful. So I reckon Jacko more than likely would have come back in for GWS.
I don't think that's... I think that's a good side street to go down. You know?
It's the story.
That is the story. Yeah. You know, this is what you have to talk to Tom about. You've got to talk to opposition clubs about. What do they need? I mean, a lot of people are looking for 6'4", 6'5",
the
key position players.
He's a good player.
They'd have to have a look at who's available because every club...
I tell you what, if he plays...
Is he that good
If he plays on McGovern, McGovern doesn't take 12 marks.
What do you mean? How do you know that? Well, he played Alex Rance for a game and Alex... He beat Alex in the first half and then Alex took him to the cleaners in the second half.
Well, I wouldn't say took him to the cleaners. He won the spot after half time. But, okay, if he wins the first half, he takes 6 marks instead of 12. They don't win.
How many did McGovern take in that final?
12.
15? 12?
12, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tom, we appreciate your time. It does give us a really good insight, both broadly but also into how deep the conversations are between player and manager, and we appreciate that. Good luck for a busy period ahead.
Thanks, boys.
Tom Petroio from Stride Sports Management. 24 minutes past 12. This is crunch time for the award-winning Renault Traffic, the winning van for the winning man and selling your home. Get real service that delivers real results. Go to findthebestagent.com.au. What do you think Tom Rockcliffe should do, boys?
Oh.
Go to Carlton or...
Carlton.
Who else?
It's very difficult to sit there and tell someone else what they have to do with their career and their life.
No, but...
But Tommy's been a long-term player for the Brisbane Lions. He was a captain. He had the captaincy stripped off him. He stood up like a man this year, took it on the chin. Everyone praised his work ethic and his leadership this year. I would like to see him stay, but if they're going to offer him 520 and Carlton are going to offer him 700... and he's a Melbourne boy, and they've got a really good story to tell him and a good future to lay down in front of him. Who's to for anyone to say you can't come back to?
I think he's
Melbourne.
Proved he's a solid citizen, no matter what's in front of him. He's the kind of bloke. I agree with you. What he showed this year, after all the adverse comments that were going on in the pre-season leading up to this season. I think he's been fantastic. And if somebody's going to offer him 25% more, I think he's done the hard yards and he's deserved the right to actually go somewhere where he might get more money and or more success a little quicker.
But
because
does Carlton really, are they closer than Brisbane to success?
I said somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the 25% more. That might not be success.
Yep.
But they do need some more solid bodies.
They do, yeah.
Somebody else might chip in.
Port Adelaide are chipping in.
Yeah. Underutilised, this guy. Underutilised when you look at the way
he can play forward.
Play full forward. He's never kicked more than 18 goals in a season, and to me, that's a complete waste. This guy's got 30 plus in him. He's got goals.
And he's got five years of footy in him. He's got 100
games.
He's
got five?
He's 26. I reckon 26, 27. I reckon he's got 100 games in him. Which is people say, "Oh, is he going to play in your next flag?" I don't like that comment. Because sometimes you actually got to build a team to win a flag, and you need really strong soldiers along the way to get that team into a position.
That's a great call, but you can't deny them the right at some stage when they've done the hard yards, and they are, by virtue of the amount of time they've been at the club, and they are a true free agent, you can't deny them the right to go somewhere where they might find success.
Swap full forward on board with Robbie Gray. Be a pretty good mix, I reckon, for Port Adelaide.
What about the Saints? Would you entertain the view of the Saints? Entertainer, they've got enough of that style of play.
They've got he's a better version of what they got, but they've got plenty of ball winners. They need some class, and Tom's, you call him classy because of his ability to win the contested footy and clearances, but he's not a free running kick at 65 on the fly.
No, but he can win the ball 1-on-1 in the forward line, as Kingy alluded to. I mean, St Kilda are desperate for inside 50 talent. They really are.
He's no slower than Dustin Martin. You reckon Dusty's quicker than him? They're very similar in their movements and their ball winning ability. Tommy's fallen into the trap of probably going a little bit more lateral with his ball use over his career.
And hunted it short.
He went away from that again this year. I reckon he straightened up a bit and stopped that chip and charge and get again.
He's 28 in February, by the way.
So 4 years, 80 to 90 games in him. I'd go after him. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's talent, mate.
Essendon? Because Essendon needs some warriors in the middle.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because the problem with Essendon, I think it is a problem. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think they've got too many smalls. I mean, I don't know where the game's going in the future, in the next 12, 14.
Well, have Richmond got too many smalls?
But they've got Bulls. I mean, Essendon's best three midfielders in 2 years' time will probably be Zach Merritt,
McGrath,
and maybe Parrish. And they're all like 5 foot six. Now,
I don't know if they're
that bigger
small.
Than 5 foot six.
Are they?
That's Hutto's height.
Yeah. Is it? That's a bit low. I'll go higher. Sorry.
No, they're five, but in this day and age, they're not big.
They're not, you understand what I'm saying? They're not the bigger body, so I don't know where the game's.
And they're not quick.
Going. So they're neither. I think McGrath is, isn't he?
They've got a slow midfield.
Yeah,
Heppel's slow.
Yeah, they are. So it'd be interesting to see where the game goes. Do they need the bigger bodies? I mean, Mark Thompson drove the bigger body situation when he at Geelong. Bigger bodies. I remember Scott Pendlebury saying after the 11 grand final, oh, their bigger midfielders got us. You know how Bomber wanted to go with Corey and Ling and that group. 8 years later, I don't know what the right mix is. Bigger bodies, smaller bodies, Derm. I don't know if you've given it any thought, but
balance. You got to have that. You do need the bigger bodies now, but you need balance. You got to balance it out with coverage, and when I say coverage, by speed.
So Essendon then speed. It might not be a great idea for Essendon to go after Tom Rockliffe.
No, if their priority by speed on the is outside. Speed. I mean, and I'll go back to the last dominant period is Hawthorne. They didn't have a very quick midfield at all, but they had speed on the outside with Hill and Isaac.
So you can cover
the blokes in the middle as long as you've got a bit of speed on the outside, and that speed has to be willing to run the other way to tackle.
All right, we'll dig more into this in a moment because we're going to get into the crunch, all the issues in footy at the moment. Also coming up, we preview Richmond versus GWS on this big day for Tiger fans. And we're going to replay the gold, silver and bronze Shizens, and one that we could have easily put in the podium, but we saved particularly for crunch time. Stay with us. Ben Dixon joins us now from Cranbet, though. G'day, Benny.
Who's going to wear it?
Ben, good morning. Afternoon, in fact.
Dicko, you can talk to us, Dicko.
Oh, we've lost him.
Oh, he's gone.
Just before we ring him back.
Yep.
So we've been saving it for someone on crunch time, so I presume he's going to be directed at someone on crunch time.
That is a fair perception.
That would be, yes.
And what would the betting
It'd
market
be?
$1.05,
I reckon.
Although when we replayed the golds last night of all the years gone past,
yes.
And yours is clearly the number one. Still standing.
You're talking to me.
Aaron Christensen.
I'm Dermot, thank God.
That was gold. You're clearly underselling yourself.
I know mine was good, and so was Robert.
Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? What will they do now?
Dermot, I was sitting next to him. He was on 360. And I'm looking at him thinking, what is he saying?
And
I
couldn't even
jump in
there. I was doing it, and I was thinking, what am I saying?
You know where we all stuff up is when you're actually... Somebody quickly points at you and goes, I've got nothing. You need to ask a question. So you start speaking and you're thinking on the run, what's this question going to be about? Because somebody's thrown you under the bus and you keep rolling with it. And
out
comes
Lara,
one of those.
I'm from Lara.
That was a great answer.
You're from Uranus.
Let's go.
Oh, he hates it.
Don't
pick on him.
Let's go to Ben Dixon. Again, we'll try it from Cranbet. Get faster multis with Cranbet Multi Express. Afternoon, Dicko.
Good afternoon, hello. Well, the Tigers, $1.54 in the head-to-head market. The Giants, $2.55, a little bit of support for the Giants. And the line, well, we've had it at 12.5 now, 10.5, and plenty taking the plus there with Richmond, the 10.5 at $1.92. And I've got to make mention of the premiership odds. We've got the Crows, $1.68, Richmond, $3.30, and the outsiders, obviously, GWS with their chance this afternoon. But the Crows have been heavy in betting. Pretty impressive last night. But Richmond, you have to say, they're edging the Giants in this one in a betting perspective.
Thank you, Dicko.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Ben Dixon there from Cranbet. As he always says, make sure you gamble responsibly. We'll take a break. We'll come back, get into the big questions in the crunch, and then talk more Tigers and Giants. And for Richmond fans, after 1 o'clock, a very special program, Tiger Time. KB and Spud. Plough, Francis Burke, Tony Jewell, Jeff Geeshan.
Stop it. You're setting the Tigers up for a loss.
All
Why
the sack Richmond
this?
Coaches taking a completely biased, emotive and fun look at today's game. And then the countdown from the G continues
Why
with Matty G,
this?
Johnny Ralph joined by Dale Morris, and KB going to join us with Mick Malthouse, Scotty Lucas, Brett Anderson, Nick Maxwell's going to join us, Blake Carousella.
Who isn't on?
And the Melbourne tactical guru, Craig Jennings, will also be with us.
Chicken Smallhorn?
Chicken Smallhorn, he's going to take your calls. 27-1.